Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. So we're coming into summer, which means two things. First, the weather will be heating up. And if you live in Melbourne or anywhere that's not tropical really, it probably also means that we have hot and dry weather on the horizon. The second thing that usually happens in summer is that we might go away. So without a housemate or a friendly and reliable neighbour, we're going to need to think about our watering systems. Because the absolute last thing that we want is for the plants that we've been tending so lovingly for all spring to wilt and die in the summer heat. So Elise, help us out. Let's talk about watering systems.
Oh, Tess, you know how much I love a good watering system. I've just been waiting for this episode the entire podcast. You know, you said it exactly right. Like the biggest thing you have to make sure of in the garden in the warmer months is that you're keeping the water up. And once a plant is stressed and dehydrated, there's often no going back with our seasonal veggies. Mm-hmm. You dry a lettuce out, it's going to bolt. You're going to have bitter lettuce. The whole thing is a bit of a disaster. So if there's only one thing you nail in the garden, it's got to be the watering. But the thing is, it can be quite time consuming. And as you say, like people go away, life gets in the way, blah, blah, blah. So we need to look at some ways to kind of get this done that is really easy, but also not too overwhelming for people. So look, there are some really hardcore options when it comes to setting up a garden. And if you're setting up a garden from scratch, especially an edible garden, I would really think carefully about what your watering system is, what you want it to be, get the pipes in under the ground before the beds, that kind of thing. There's so much that people need to know for that. But if that's you, get on the Google and research it. Today, I think it will be best that we focus on kind of systems that anyone could set up in a weekend in their already established veggie patch. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic. I mean, if we're talking here to people like me, the beginner gardeners who just need to know kind of the basics, and then when you're at that more advanced level of setting up your whole garden bed, I think probably then those people can dig into it themselves. Dig into it, huh?
Oh, how's that? So, shall we get into it?
Please.
The first option on our list is the old sprinkler. Now, this is the most common option people are going to know about, the most common option people are going to use, the easiest, quickest to set up, but I will say it's not the most effective. So let's kind of get into the nitty-gritty of that a bit more. So a sprinkler...
Yeah, what are we talking about here in terms of a sprinkler? Just really break it down.
Yeah, we're going back to basics. So I'm not talking about like a built-in sprinkler system that, you know, some people have where it like pops out of their lawn and sprays everywhere. What I'm talking about is literally you go to your hardware store, you buy, you know, a $30 sprinkler. It plugs in to the end of your hose. So at the moment, probably got like a trigger nozzle on the end of your hose. We're going to plug in the sprinkler instead of the trigger nozzle. The sprinkler is going to have different shapes. So it might be like a round sprinkler that kind of arcs out and, you know, sprays in a radius. Or it might be like a long, thin sprinkler that just sprays, you know, kind of backwards and forwards in the same kind of path. So what you got to do is you got to pick the sprinkler based on your veggie garden. For you, Tess, who's got rectangular veggie patches and kind of long and thin, you know, a circular sprinkler that's going to do like a 360 radius is going to end up watering a lot of your carport and not a lot of your veggies. So for you, you'd want to pick one that kind of rotates backwards and forwards in the same kind of line, and then you could line that up along your garden beds.
So what's interesting about my garden setup is I've got two garden beds on either side of like the space where I can park my car. So what I did last year was got a, like, it's like a rainbow, I guess, and it goes back and forward because I was trying to get both beds at once, but I really felt like I was wasting a lot of water. Can you get like, Y extensions for your hose, because I've only got one hose, to have multiple sprinklers set up for multiple different garden beds.
Yeah, it's such a good point, because I think so often, and one of my biggest criticisms of sprinklers is you end up watering heaps of an area that doesn't need it, and then the parts of the garden that actually need it the most might not get the right amount of water. And yeah, especially when you've got two separate garden beds like you do, I don't think there's any single sprinkler or any single system that's going to actually cover both those effectively. So yeah, you need two. I don't think there's anything you can add to the end of the hose to split it, only because remember the hose gives the pressure. So if you and sprinklers rely on pressure, so for you to get enough pressure for both sprinklers, you wouldn't be able to split the hose. But what you can do, which is fabulous, and I highly recommend this for everyone, you can get a tap splitter. So where the tap is, yes, I have tap splitters on every single tap in my garden. I'm obsessed.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. They're really cheap. You know, they're available everywhere. And what it does is it turns one tap into two, basically. So you can have one side of this tap with your, you know, fancy retractable hose. And then on the other hand, on the other side, you could get just like a cheap, you know, 10 meter hose or whatever it is that you need to plug in and then have two sprinklers running. That would be what I would recommend for you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think you'll actually find it a game changer. And, you know, the other thing with the tap splitter is you could have your hose on one and then, you know, your sprinkler hose on another, because it's a bit annoying, like, say you've got your sprinkler set up because you're going to go away for the weekend and then you want to just do a quick something with the hose in the meantime. Like, you don't want to be like unplugging one hose and plugging another one in. So by splitting it, it's like you constantly have your sprinkler line and then you constantly have your hose line, and you can use them both at the same time.
How many can you split it into? Just two?
Nah, you can go four. I'm quite a fan of the four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, two is a common one, but four is also really common. And again, they're still really cheap. Like, you can get plastic ones that are cheap. You can get metal ones that are a little bit more expensive. But I find the plastic ones are actually really durable, like, you know, most hose parts that are plastic. So yeah, you can go four. You can have three sprinkler lines and a hose. You can have all manner of configurations.
So I interrupted you, but I think it's actually quite a good chat to get off at the front end of the conversation, that you don't just have to pick one solution. We can split our taps, and then if you have multiple different setups around your garden, a garden bed and a couple of different pots or whatever, that if split it at the tap, and then you can have different solutions depending on where you're trying to water.
Yeah, you literally couldn't have said that better. Like, that's exactly it. Depending on, you know, is it pots, is it garden beds, what's the hose configuration, like, you're probably going to have a kind of a multitude, or, you know, a few different options. And again, it depends. Is this an option that's going to be permanently in your garden, or is this an option that you're just going to use when you go away for a weekend? And, you know, your offensive sprinkler in the middle going backwards and forwards, I know exactly the one you've got. I think it's a really good shape, that kind of like rainbow that goes backwards and forwards, like for raised garden beds, because they tend to be in that kind of same shape. If you only, you know, if you go away one or two weekends every summer and that's the only time you ever use this sprinkler and you've wasted a bit of water on that, you know, maybe that's okay. Like, but if this is how you're going to water your garden, you know, every second day for the entire summer, I would say that system's not really going to work. So it also kind of just depends on what you're wanting, what you're expecting from this system. So yeah, the tap splitter is brilliant. I would highly recommend that for pretty much anyone. Like, there's not that many, unless your garden's really tiny and you're never going to set up a sprinkler or any kind of watering system. So with the sprinkler, we've talked about the shape, so that's important. You've got to pick your shape right. Some of them, like that rainbow kind of arc one you've got, you can usually kind of set how far it goes over. So some of them will go kind of 180 degrees up and around, or you can reduce it so it just goes like, you know, 30 degrees backwards and forwards. So a lot of them have things on it that you can kind of set to make it as best appropriate for your garden as possible. But at the end of the day, you're almost never going to come up with a sprinkler system that's going to water everything perfectly evenly and not waste a lot of water. Another pro of the sprinkler is it's quite good for pots in a sense, because, you know, it's going to spray everything, including any pots that you had. So if you had, you know, you do have pots, herbs, strawberries, etc., you could move them to be in the kind of radius of the sprinkler when you went away for the weekend. But you know, you'll see, and I think you've already experienced this, is that you're going to end up watering the side of the pot more than what you're going to get in the pot. So, you know, it's a good short-term option. It wouldn't be my pick for, you know, managing your garden. The other con of the old sprinkler system is that, you know, when we talked about strawberries and tomatoes, I talked about how I didn't want you to water the foliage. I wanted you to water the soil. Is the sprinkler is going to absolutely drench the foliage.
It's all about the leaves.
It is literally all about the leaves. And, you know, that is just asking for a fungal infection, really. Like, again, it comes down to if this is something that you're going to do, you know, a couple of weekends in summer, are you going to have problems with the foliage watering? No. But if this is how you're going to water your plants throughout the entire season, we're probably going to have an issue. Yeah, I think my assessment of sprinklers are they're really good, they're really easy, they're really cheap, but they're a part-time strategy. Mm. They're not an all-the-time strategy.
Yep, got it. So that's it on sprinklers. What's your next option?
Well, my next option is called a soaker hose. This sounds like something you'd have at a kid's party or some kind of...
Yeah.
Sounds very fun.
Speaking of kids' parties, did you ever use to jump through the sprinkler when you were a kid?
Oh my God, totally. It was my favorite thing to do. I'm such a water baby.
Okay, so back onto the soaking hoses.
So the soaker hose is nowhere near as kind of fun and intense as it sounds. What it is it's a line of hose with tiny holes in it. So as the water goes through it, it kind of seeps out, like drips out these tiny holes. So the pros of this, so this hose, it literally looks like a hose and you plug it into the end of your hose and then you lay it around the garden. So you would kind of snake it amongst your plants in the garden bed.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So my pros for this is it's quick and easy and cheap. You know, they're readily available in all manner of different lengths. So you can get, you know, 5 meters, you can probably get 50 meters, right? And the other great pro of this is you're not watering the foliage. You're only watering the soil. So that's going to be better for your plants. And it's also going to mean you're not wasting water. You're not watering, you know, the carport. The problem with this is you can't use them for pots. So if you're gardening in pots, this is not an option. And you've got to have it lined up right along the roots of the plants. So with the sprinkler, it's going to cover a massive area. This soaker hose is going to be very effective, but only where it is. So you've got to be a bit creative on the old management of where it's being snaked and put in the garden. And depending on your setup, some people, this is going to be quite easy. For other people, it's not. So for you, with two raised garden beds in separate positions plus some pots, I don't actually think that would be the greatest solution for you.
Mm.
But look, if you can make a soaker hose work, and what you can do is you can buy like pegs from, they're called pegs, but they kind of look like pins, like you use them like, you know, near like a tent peg.
Oh, like for thing. Tents.
Yeah. You can buy those with like a hook over them, and they're cheap and they're really handy in the garden. So then when you're putting this like soaker hose in position, you can kind of pin it where it is. So it's not like flopping all over the place and knock it into your plants or anything when you put it on. So I'd recommend the pins as well. This option isn't necessarily like a short-term option. Like if you set this up really well and you pin the hose down and it's kind of hitting all the, I'm not saying like it doesn't have to be right on the roots. It doesn't be next to it, but like, you know, it's got to be pretty vaguely close because it's not spraying at all. It's literally just dripping.
It's not going to get something that's a foot away.
No, it's not. If you set this up properly, this I think actually is quite a good long-term solution. And then obviously like at the end of the season when you pull everything up and you do, you know, your soil feeding and that kind of thing, you just take the dripper hose off and then you have to set it up again. So look, I do like that if it suits your garden. If your garden has a lot of pots, that's absolutely not going to work, but still a good option for a lot of people.
With this and the sprinkler, I'm imagining for both of them that they're going to be on some kind of timer setting as well, like that connects to the hose.
Yeah.
Or does the soaker hose just run all the time?
So the timer is an important part of this sprinkler water system setup. Really good question, because you know it's one thing to say, oh, we're going to save time in the garden and set up the soaker hose and then you can just go out and turn the hose on and turn it off, but in reality, like, the whole point of this is often that you're not actually home when you want to water. Plus, how many people have turned a hose on with a sprinkler, forgotten about it, and come back 4 hours later? Like, you know, a timer also will save you money and save water. So, yes, I 100% recommend everyone has a timer. So let's talk about timers. These are battery operated. There are some that aren't. Go with a 9-volt battery operated timer. They're about $35 from a hardware store. And what you do is you attach them to your tap and then you attach your hose to the timer. So it sits in between the hose and the tap. If you have a splitter, like I do, and you can split it into two or you can split it into four, you can have the timer above the splitter. So the timer, so all sprinklers are on the same. Or you can have the timer below the splitter and you can have different timers for different watering systems. So you might not want a timer for the hose that you use, you know, when you're watering in the garden, but you would want the timer for the line that you've got for your sprinkler. Then on the timer, it has two aspects that you set. It has the duration. So this is, are you watering for 5 minutes? Are you watering for 10 minutes? Are you watering for half an hour? So you set that and then you set the frequency. So you say, I want this to come on every 12 hours, every 24 hours, every 72, every 5 hours. Like it'll have different settings and you kind of just select your frequency and your duration. There are really fancy ones that are about $100 that you can say, like, on Tuesdays, I want you to water at 10:45 for 3 minutes and then at 2:45. They are actually, look, they're really good. Like I use one for my, God, there's going to be so many jokes about this, but for my chicken air conditioning system that I have that on a fancy timer. But all my plants, all my watering systems for my plants, I have on like the most basic $35, a dial for frequency, a dial for duration. So what I like about this is you can go on holidays and say, oh, it's going to be pretty hot this week. So every day I want my sprinkler to come on for 5 minutes. You leave your hose, like, sorry, you leave your tap turned on when you're using a timer all the time. And then the timer like cuts off the valve, I suppose you would call it. And then the timer then says, like, opens the valve for the 5 minutes and then shuts it again. So you have to make sure that the tap is actually on or it won't work. If you're setting a sprinkler, I would say best to set it to come on in the morning. Like that's the preferable time to water, because we don't want kind of everything sitting wet overnight, but we also don't want to water during the hottest part of the day. That's usually a bad idea. So in the morning is better, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the plant's going to want the water whenever it gets it. How long you set it for really depends on what system you're using. Like a really powerful sprinkler can actually deliver a lot of water in a short amount of time, whereas something like a soaker hose, sometimes, you know, it depends on how much they're dripping out. Like if they're dripping pretty slowly, you might leave that on for like half an hour and it's not necessarily going to be more water. So I think you'd kind of have to experiment a bit, like put your soaker hose or your sprinkler on for 5 minutes and then just see, is your soil wet? And I don't want you to look at the top of the soil and be like, oh, that's wet. I want you to like stick your finger in and then like, is it wet, you know, 5 centimeters down? Like if it's achieved that, then it's done a good job. And look, it's going to change. Like if you're watering, you know, the start of summer, it's still pretty cool where we are. So it might only need 5 minutes. Come the middle of summer, you know, we might be leaving it on for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Like it will change as the weather changes. It's not exactly a set and forget, but pretty close.
A pro tip from me is I wouldn't set up your sprinkler timer for the first time on the day that you're leaving to go away. That can be a bit stressful, so do it a couple of days in advance would be my pro tip.
I mean, you know, my favorite tip of spring is like get your watering system sorted before you need them, and that includes your sprinkler set up and your timers. And look, the other thing is make sure your timers, like the bat, if this is, you know, if you're using one a couple, like if you've used it last season and then you're coming back now and wanting to use it, like check the battery's working, that kind of thing, you know, like they do need a tiny bit of maintenance, not a lot. So I think those two would be my most readily available options and quickest options for people. Any questions on the soaker hose?
how malleable is it? Like, can you get it around all of your small plants, or is it only really doing one loop around your tomatoes and that's it? Can you, like, loop-de-loop around your tomato and your basil and your lettuces, or is it not really that malleable?
Well, actually, different ones are different malleableness. So, like, one brand, you know, might be quite rigid and you're pretty much putting it in a line, and then other ones are, they can be quite loose and you can, yeah, loop them around plants and things like that. So, yeah, really good point is, like, think about how you're going to use it and then, like, give it a feel in the shop. I would say, like, looping can be done, but probably more snaking would be.
Yeah,
like, a loop is quite intense. And obviously the last thing you want to do is kink your soaker hose, then you're going to be in trouble. No kinks.
Okay, so we've covered off sprinklers and soaker hoses. What's next on your list?
So next on my list is spiked drippers. And this is kind of taking it from the beginner to the intermediate, but I think if you garden in pots or containers, I think this is your best choice, and I think this is still doable for everyone. It's probably going to take you a couple of hours to set up, but once it's done forever. So let me explain what a spiked dripper is. What this is it's a spike, so like a tent peg, and on the end of it has a little dripper that will drip water down. So the idea is we put each of these tent pegs in a pot or in a container if you're kind of gardening in containers, or, you know, like a potato grow bag or those fabric grow bags you've got, that's that same kind of container gardening. So we stick one of these tent pegs in each container and then they all join up with this like thin black tubing, and then that black tubing goes back to the tap or to the hose, depending on the setup that you've got. I like it going back to the tap because I've got all my tap splitters and I want my hose free. But if you need the distance from the tap to the garden, you might want the hose aspect. Connects up there. Then when it turns on, so you have your timer and it turns on, it just drips water through the black tubing into each of these containers via the tent peg spike. So the reason I love this system, and this is what I use for my strawberries. I have a lot of strawberries and all of them are watered this way, because there's no wetting of the foliage. The water is going exactly where I want it. There's no wastage of water because it's not spraying out of the pot or the garden bed. And if I've got, you know, lots of little pots, I can put one in. If I've got some really big containers, I might put two spikes in. And then it's set up in a way, like, this isn't something, oh, I'm going away for the weekend, I'm going to like put my tent pegs in. Like, this is, you have this set up permanently. So it keeps the, and if you have it on a timer, like, you know, you, this is pretty much close to a set and forget once it's set up for the season. So what you've got to do, so first off, buy a kit. Like, there's a kit that's got, you know, the hose attachment, the end, the tubing. It's usually even got like the scissors you use to cut the tubing. Like, 100%, if this is your first time with this stuff, buy a kit. It's just going to make sure you've got everything you need and it's going to have the instructions, etc. What your job is to measure the tubing out and cut it accordingly. So if you've got pots really close, you know, it might be quite short tubing because they're quite close together. Although if you've got pots that are quite far away, you might have quite long tubing that's joining them all. In your garden test with your two large garden beds, you could actually have, like, I probably wouldn't recommend this permanently because people might trip on it, but like, you could actually have this set up with, you know, five spikes in one garden bed and five spikes in the other, and like a couple of meters of tubing in between that's like attaching them together. So it gives you a lot more flexibility with working with small spaces. A kit that I like, and this is not sponsored, this is the one I use, is called the Maze Greenhouse Drip Kit. I don't know why it's called greenhouse, because I use it not in the greenhouse and it's great. So that's, and that one's quite premium, but I find that, you know, you pay a bit more and like the stuff kind of is better quality. I think that's like $80 and it's got 16 drippers, all the tubing, the hose connectors, etc. And once you've got that set up, it's a, you know, it's a forever investment. So it's more expensive than, you know, a sprinkler or a soaker hose, but it is more effective and it is permanent, so to speak. So that would be, for any kind of container gardening, my favorite.
So just to visualize this, Is it one tube with a bunch of the drippers coming off it, or is it a bunch of different tubes with each with their own dripper?
So it's one line, and then coming off that one tubing line is shorter tubing lines to the drippers.
And you place those shorter tubing lines according to your space requirements.
Exactly. You might have the main tubing line that actually sits on the ground behind all your pots or behind your raised garden bed. No one needs to see that. And then off that, you would have, you know, a pot that was small, that was close, might have a 30 centimeter tubing off it onto the dripper line that you poke in. Or if there's a big pot that's quite far away, then off that main line, you might have a meter or two and then the spike on the end of that.
How do you connect the offshooties to the main line?
There are what's called T joiners. Now, the name says it all, is in the shape of a T. And then you put your tubing, your main line tubing goes along, and then the T part that sticks off has your offshoot tubing.
Right. So you snip it. You snip the main one, put in the connector, and then off you go again.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's easier than I thought it would be. I was a bit worried.
See, it's a bit more work, obviously, because you're the one snipping this. But the thing is, you can have it be exactly what you need it to be for your garden. You know, if you bought one that was already set up, you'd be like, oh, well, this doesn't reach that pot and this doesn't reach that pot. So you just go along and, like, it's like a build your own. That's why I like the kits, because it's build your own, but you know you've got everything you actually need in there.
Yeah.
So you're just, shoving tubing onto tees. And look, you can even get crosses, and then you can have one going each side depending on, you know, what your garden setup is.
And how close, so just say I wanted to put one next to my tomato plant. How close to the trunk of the tomato plant do I put the dripper?
I think quite close.
Okay.
You know, there is obviously a risk that you are damaging roots, but like one thin spike that's not going down that deep, I would go as close as you can, really. I mean, you don't need to be like in its grill within an inch of its life, but, you know, maybe 10 centimeters from the from the plant. So, yeah, you can use these in garden beds as well. And if you had a massive garden like mine, you're never going to do that. But possibly in a garden your size test, you could actually have a line of these going into the little pots you've got and then into, you know, one side of the garden bed at least. So a little bit daunting when you start, but I am not handy in the slightest, although I'm getting better, but I did manage to do this on my own. So it can be done, people.
Okie dokie. So we've covered off the dripper system. Is there anything else on your list?
The last thing on my list is the most advanced, and this is dripper lines. So it's like a soaker hose, but instead of just being one long hose that you buy that you twist around, it's kind of the same concept of the spiked drippers we just talked about, in that you have a main line and then you put tees into it and then have dripper lines coming off it. This is literally like pieces of soaker hose attached to your main line. So this is a bit more, I mean, definitely a lot more work than a soaker hose, but the thing about this is you can have it be exactly what you need it to be, and long bits here and short bits there and wherever it needs to go, you know, separate garden beds, whereas you're not going to run a soaker hose across raised garden beds, that kind of thing. So if you've got raised garden beds in a larger area and you want a system, and this is not like a weekend, I'm going away for the weekend system, this is like, this is my summer gardening system, I would look at doing a dripper line system. But that is, I think, way more complicated than the spiked dripper. So we've kind of gone up in difficulty in conversation, but the dripper line is, you know, the best and the most effective, especially for a large area. So that would kind of be like your far end. But with that as well, there are plenty of kits available. So if you want to do that yourself, buy the kit and follow the instructions, and then you're going to have, you know, the bits that attach to the hose and all the other crap you need.
With the two options of the ones that we're sticking into the garden bed, what happens when it gets to the end of the summer and we're pulling out all of our plants that have done their dash? Do we put the sprinkler system, like pull it out and put it to the side, or do we try and maneuver around it? I'm just thinking about that forward planning, like what's it going to look like when it gets to the end of summer?
Well, the spiked drippers, I use them mostly for things like herbs in pots and strawberries in pots. And these things, given they're perennial, stay in the ground all year round, I don't ever remove the watering system because I don't ever remove the strawberries. So I don't use it in winter, but I just leave it there. For something like, you know, tomatoes in a container, yeah, I would remove the dripper system and empty the pot of the tomato, put your fresh soil in, put your compost in, etc., and then stick your dripper back in. I would probably, if you've built this yourself, I would probably just leave it in the garden over winter, even though you're not going to use it, just because you've got it all perfectly measured. Like, this drip is designed for this pot. So it kind of is just easier if it stays in position, and it really isn't obtrusive. Like, you can hardly see it. So I don't think it's like an eyesore or anything like that. You know, like any of these systems, even the dripper lines, like come autumn when we rip these crops out, we have to kind of lift our dripper lines up and then work our soil and then put our dripper lines back down. So I'd say the dripper lines and the spiked drippers, I'd temporarily remove them, work your soil, put them back down. Something like your soaker hose or your sprinkler, obviously that's just going to get packed up into the shed for, you know, till next season.
Fabulous. So is that your list of all of the options for a beginner gardener setting up their watering systems?
That's me done.
I mean, we forgot the most obvious one of just standing out there with a hose yourself.
I was going to say that at the start, but then I'm like, oh, come on.
We're better than that.
I was going to say, like, first off, if you're watering with a watering can, update to a hose for starters.
Oh, dear. So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
So Tess, now that we've discussed some of the options and we've been thinking about your garden, you know, how is setting up a watering system sitting on the squeezy juice matrix, and which ones do you think you would be integrating this spring/summer?
So without a doubt, we need a watering system. That's kind of goes without saying. We're coming in, once it gets hot in Melbourne, it's so dry and we can't have our plants that we've been caring for all spring just wilting away.
Nah, too much TLC has gone into those babies.
So the kind of things that I'm thinking about are what's going to be easy to install and what's not going to waste a whole lot of water. Are there other factors that spring to mind for you?
I think what's going to do the best job of watering the crops as well, because as I said, the sprinkler is good, but it's not going to do as good of a job, like literally getting water where it needs to be.
So I really like the idea of a dripper system. If I have a spare weekend, I will make that happen. And if I don't have a spare weekend, then I'm going to just do the bare minimum as I see it, is getting a timer, getting a tap splitter, and making sure that I've got sprinklers that are going to get to both of my two garden beds. And then I'll just bring all my pots into the zone and make sure that they all get hit. But definitely the dripper sounds like the best option for me. It's just about, as you say, that initial time outlay of getting it set up and getting it all ready.
Yeah, I think that sounds really wise, like especially on, you know, one side of your garden where you've got the pots and the, you know, the raised bed, like having the spike drippers would be a game changer. But yeah, you got to have the time to set it up. But having those two sprinklers going, having that divide and moving the pots into, like if you go away for a weekend, that's going to do a wonderful job. So, you know, we've got plenty of options. And I think either way, your plants are going to be happy in the warmer months.
And I very much look forward to an episode in the future of your chicken aircon system.
Look, it also works as a humid aircon system, so. So are we going superstar, high effort, high reward?
Well, no, because there were all different options. Like this, going out and getting a sprinkler and sticking it on the end of your hose, that's really probably
quick win fill in. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, because it's not a whole lot of effort, but it's also not the most reward in terms of your... I feel like we have we've discussed options for kind of every level of
squeezing juice matrix.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, look, you said it in summary, like you do need to have a system. Like, you know, I can't imagine there are too many people that really are going to be home every moment their garden needs watering for the next 5 months of the year or 6 months of the year. So think ahead, plan it, and as Tess said, don't try and set it up the day that you need it.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.